Good morning. Thank you for coming to this session. And my name is David Joseph. I'm the pastor of the Last Harvest Church. The Last Harvest Church is part of Foothills. Thank God for that. So we're so grateful for that. Well, the title of this time is like the subject that we need to discuss is what kind of mind do you have? Let me tell you from where I got this idea. In 2018, I usually, before the year, I spend time asking the Lord, what do you want me to do next year? And what about the last harvest? What do you want us to do in the last harvest? And what's your mind for the new year? I've been doing this since I came to America like 26 years ago. And thank God that every time that God gives me kind of like direction to the year, it worked for me so far. And I'm sure that it will continue to work. In 2018, before the end of the year, before I start to pray, I just kept hearing from the Lord, like, be ready for the change. Be ready for the change. He didn't tell me, like, what change he's talking about. What am I supposed to do? And I keep telling God every time I hear this voice. That was kind of like September 2017, before 2018 started. So I keep asking the Lord, so what change do you want me to do? Like, what change are you talking about? What will happen in 2018? And for a while, the Lord just kept telling me, like, be ready for the change. So I told him, like, I'm ready. I'm ready to do whatever change you want. But at least tell me, what kind of change do you want to do in my life and the life of the church and the ministry to be ready? And I was surprised that the Lord was telling me, like, your mind need to be changed. You need to change your mind before you start to change your actions or plans or, you know, vision, whatever. You need to change your mind. And he said, like, I want to change your mind. So I said, like, I will tell that to my church and I tell them, like, the Lord is asking you to change your mind. Minds, but, well, is there any kind of mind that we need to change? There any more than one mind that we need to, you know, to know first? In the Bible, just if I am telling you, like, you need to change your mind, so you have to know what kind of mind you have to be able to change it. You cannot change something that you don't know even you have it, or you have it, like, the kind of mind that God gave you, and he's asking you to change your mind. So, and I did my work, and I said, like, I'm going to search the Bible and see how many kinds of minds that the Bible mentioned. Because I know, like, two, three of them, like, the mind of Christ. Of course, that doesn't need to be changed. This is the only one that you need to keep, and I need to keep. But there is kind of like that childish mind, and the Bible talked about that childish mind and how they act and how they react to in the church. And I know that there is a defiled mind, and you know, but I knew like two, three minds only. And I said, like, you know what, I'll search this subject and study this subject. How many kind of mind, you know, mentioned in the Bible? And to my surprise, I found 16 kinds of minds in the Bible. 16 kinds of minds, you know? So I said, like, well, I need to know what kind of mind do I have and what kind of mind God wants me to have. And it's not kind of like just one mind I have and just one mind I'll get, because you will see, like, any one of us, the average person of us, has like 2, 3, 4 kinds of minds. Sometimes he acts like a child for a while, then he acts like a mature person. And so I stated that in the kinds of minds that we have. Well, 2018 was the year of change in the last harvest after the Lord told me that. And for the whole year, we were studying about the kinds of minds. And people used to come to me and said, like, I never thought that I have this mind. And I never thought, like, I need to change whatever I have. So I'm praying that you discovered with me, discover what kind of mind you have and what kind of mind the Lord wants you to have. And the Bible said, like, and don't be conformed. This is the main verse that God was talking to me about, to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, in order to prove by you what is that good and pleasing and perfect will of God. So renewing my mind is my job. Discovering what kind of mind and renewing it, it's my job. I know I can't do anything, because the Bible said, like, without me, you can't do anything. I'm not saying, like, I'm not giving you kind of like a recipe or a prescription to do this, and you will get your mind changed. But to renew my mind, to be able to renew my mind, to be open to renew my mind, it's my job. It's not God's job. God can invest whatever he wants in me, but to think about my mind and to take a decision to renew my mind, it's my decision. It is the part that I'm supposed to do. And when I discover that I have kind of mind and I need to change this, and I put that in front of the Lord can do this. So renewing my mind is my job. So why do I have to renew my mind? Because, you know, according to my mind, I can't do something unless I understand it, you know? And by the way, for many years of my life, when I was a young man, you know, young men, you know, we need to understand everything. We need to go with all what we understand and judge things. And I used to be a very kind of proud to say, if I don't understand it, I can't change it, you know? If I can't accept it in my mind, I can't change myself. I can't do anything. So I was so proud that I have this mind, whatever is inside here. So I wanted to understand anything before I take any step. But I found with walking with God, sometimes you need to do first what God is asking you to do, then you will find your mind start to change. Because most of the things that God asks us to do, to be honest, it doesn't make any sense. When he tells somebody, you have to leave your house, you have to leave your, you know, your country, you have to come to a place, I will show you. And in the morning, you find Grandfather Abraham preparing himself to leave. And when you go and ask him, like, where are you going, Father Abraham or Grandfather Abraham? And he will tell you, like, I don't know. What do you mean? You are leaving. You are traveling. You are putting everything over the camels in Iraq. And you are taking your family to where? It's so simple to understand, like, where will you go, you know, to be able to move. But through my life, I found a very strange principle that I applied to my life, and God kind of like forced me to apply, is to move first, then God will tell you what to do. You know, I remember one time I was going to Algeria, and I had to take 2 bags of Bibles. And if they discover this Bibles with me, that means I'll go to jail. And I have my American brother, he's from the Baptist church, and he came and he told me, like, do you think it's wise to take the, you know, the Bibles with us this trip? And I said, as much as I understand, it's not wise and it will never be wise to go take Bibles to a Muslim closed country, you know? I said, like, but it doesn't make sense to my mind to take it, because I know that if they discover it, they will take us to jail. But in the same time, I can't accept that I'll go to Algeria where they don't have Bibles, and I'm coming from a country that I can't carry Bibles with me, and I don't take Bibles to Algeria. I can't understand it. So why do we go? I know that we will encourage the brothers there and in the churches, but part of our trip is to take Bibles with us. And he tries to reason with me, and he said, like, you know what? But we know that if they discover it, we will go to jail. So why do you risk? Why do we risk to take the Bible? I said, because this is our mission, because this is what God told us to do. It's so simple and easy. And the guy was so faithful, and he said, like, you know what? I'm Baptist. I'm telling you what he said. He said, like, you know what? I'm Baptist. You are the spirit-filled man. You can ask God, and whatever he tells you, we will do it. Then I said, like, I have a principle in my life. If I go and ask God if I can take the Bibles or not, I have to fill the bags with Bibles. And I have to hold them and tell God, like, you know what? The bags are filled with Bibles and I'm ready to go. If you want me to take them or not. So he looked at me and I said, because sometimes we go and pray with this mindset that it's not wise to take the Bibles with you. I'm giving you kind of like a practical example happened with me, because sometimes we have the pre-mindset for something and we go to God and ask God, what do you think? What do you want? And we come out of the presence of God with the same mentality, with the same mind, with the same preset mind that, you know, and we find all kind of excuses and things that we do whatever we want. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that I go to God and ask God and be ready to change my mind in the presence of the Lord and do whatever God is telling us. And I said, like, we have to fill the bags with Bibles. Then I go to pray. So he said, like, whatever you want to do, just fill the Bibles with bag and go pray and come and tell me. And whatever you say, I will follow. So, of course, I went there and I said, like, God, do you want me to take the Bibles? As kind of like knowing the answer, you know. And I came and I said, like, yes, God told me to take the bags. But listen, he didn't tell me that we will be arrested in Algeria. And the guy said, like, what do you mean? I said, like, you asked me to pray if we can take the Bibles or not. And God said, like, you have to take the Bibles. But I didn't discuss with God if they will arrest us or not, you know. And I wanted to teach him a lesson, like, it's not because God said take the Bibles that means they won't arrest us. So I said, like, all what we need to do to know that if God wants us to take the Bibles, we will take the Bibles. And we took the Bibles. And of course, we have two bags, like, and everyone has handbag. The Bible is full of, the bag is full of Bibles. So in the airport, I checked out first, like, and I was kind of like 5-6 steps before him. And I heard the guy saying, Nagy, which is my Egyptian name before I got my American name, David Joseph. I don't know why it's, anyway. And he said, Nagy. So I looked at the corner of my eyes and I found two policemen went to the bag and they are, you know, lifting the bag up. So the bag is so heavy because it's all Bibles. Like, we have like 25 Arabic big Bible there. So, of course, I couldn't go back, because if I go back, they will take the two bags and they will arrest us both. So I said, like, it's not wise to go back. So I pretended that I didn't hear him and I went fast to the guy outside the airport. I gave him the bag and I went back And I found him coming. And I said, what happened? He said, like the two policemen asked me, what do you have in this bag? And of course, they were asking him in Arabic. So he doesn't know Arabic. So he didn't answer them back. He thought that they are asking for his passport. So he got them the American passport. When they saw the American passport, they put the bag down and said, like, go. You can go outside. What I'm trying to say, like, sometimes we have the pre-mindset in everything. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Right? What I'm saying? You know? And even when we go to pray, we can't, because this cannot be completely empty, you know? We can't. Let's be honest and faithful when, you know, I can't empty my mind from thoughts and from different things that trying to lead me in a special way. But I need to change my mind. I need to train myself. Like, if God wants me to change my mind, I have to change it. So what do I need to do to renew my mind? This is what we will talk about so fast. Why do I have to renew my mind? In order not to be conformed to this world. Well, the Bible said, like, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, if I have my own mind, if I live in this world and I have my own mind, and, you know, there is no place, if there is no place for Jesus to be there in control of my mind, I will find myself go with the flow, as we say, you know, because I'm living in America. I'm not living in Egypt anymore. So I'm living in an American culture with the American principles. And we don't compare between the American culture and the American, and the Egyptian culture. But because I came to America and I put myself here, and the culture is kind of like shaping my mind. So when I was in Egypt, the culture was shaping my mind as an Egyptian person. And when I came to America, the culture is shaping my mind as an American person. And I forget that I'm a heavenly person. I'm not Egyptian person or American person. And there is a completely different story between you have like American mentality and Egyptian mentality. And that's why most of the time we have clashes between the cultures, even in America, with each other. Why? Because you look to me as whatever from the Middle East, and I look to you as whatever from America. Thank God I'm not doing this. I'm talking about my mind. I mean the mind. So, and that's why we have clashes, and that's why we feel like, you know, some of the Americans, when they go to Egypt, they try to teach Muslims. Or in El Cajon here, you try to teach Muslims about whatever Christian ethics you have, which is great. But when you start to teach them, they look at you as American. That means you don't understand Islam, and you will never understand Islam. And you have your own religion. They may be fine and nice with you to hear whatever you said, but back in their mind, you are American. You don't understand anything about Islam. You will never accept Islam. You will never understand how they think. And I'm sure that you think the same for them when they don't stop in the stop sign or go through. It happens every day here in El Cajon now. Right? You see that, you know? So what you see in these guys, a bunch of guys came from the Middle East, they can't go through the rules. And I know one of my friends, he lived here in America for 10 years, and he decided to go back to Egypt. When I asked his wife why, and his wife is brilliant. She's a pharmacist, and she's brilliant. And I said, like, why are you taking your family back to Egypt? We are in America. And she said, my husband cannot stop in the stop signs. This is literally what happened. And I said, what? They lived here for 10 years. But because in Egypt, we have in Egypt stop signs, by the way, but we never stop in these stop signs because we have very jammed the traffic. So in his mentality, he cannot go with the rules of the new country, although he came from Egypt to America, and he's supposed to adapt himself to America. But his mind, the mind that he got in Egypt, the pre-mindset that why do we stop in a stop sign? You know, if there is no cars from here or there, and if I drive in Egypt, I can drive in hell, you know, because in Egypt it's so crowded, so jammed. So that's my pre like set mind. So in order not to be conformed to this world, the other thing, to be transformed, we have to renew our minds to be transformed. By the way, conformed means if you have a glass like with different with this shape, and you pour water there, the water will take whatever the space and the shape of the container, right? If the container is doing like this, the water will be like this. If the container, you know, the shape of the container. But transformed is different. Transformed, that means that whatever you have in your mind, it's not conformed to whatever you live in or like the society, as we said, or the culture. So to be transformed, to be new person, to have a new life, you cannot do this without changing your mind, without renewing your mind. And this, can you imagine the computer? I have a computer like 12 years ago. I used to have this computer. So, and of course I got the new ones. And so I left this computer aside and I tried to turn it on maybe 2 weeks ago. I tried to turn the computer on. It turned on, but was telling me, like, you need to adapt to renew or upgrade everything. That means I need a new computer. So if I started to renew my computer like every month and every 2 months, I may could use the computer now. But because I left it for 12 years and I never used it for 12 years, all what it works in my computer is just the on and off button. You know, and that's it, because it needs to be, you know, renewed. This computer needs to be renewed, you know, with I'll tell you how we can do this. The third thing, why do we have to renew our minds, to be compatible with the changes of my surroundings. Even in the churches, sometimes we have some doctrines or ways of, or some songs, or some subjects we hear about, and we preach to the choir, as we say, you know, because we don't want to get out of the style that we used to. We don't want to get out of our way to adapt, you know, the new ideas or to think about something new. My dad was leading my house, like my family, 60 years ago in this way. He used to tell me, stop it, so I have to stop it, especially in the Middle East. So I feel like the way that my God raised me is the best way, you know, because he used to say, stop it, I stop it. So if I try to do this with my Andy and Timmy, my two sons, now if I say stop it, they will tell me stop it. You know, because it's completely different, as I said, culture, completely different story. So we have to be compatible with whatever we have. But this is a wide expression. So according to the Bible, according to what God is saying, we need to change our minds. We need to go with this technology. To be able to prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, we need to change our minds to be able that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When God tells me something, and this is what this verse means. When God tells me something, I need to prove it. I need to prove it, not to test it, like if he what he said it is right or wrong, but I need to experience it, you know? To experience what God is asking me to do, I have to be up-to-date mind with God. If I don't have up-to-date mind with God, God even cannot talk to me, because as we will say, they cannot put a new wine in an old wine skin. This is a principle. If I have to put a new wine, I have to put the new wine in a new wine skin. If I don't have a new wine skin and I put an old wine in the new wine skin, the Bible said that the wine skin will perish, will be destroyed. Why? Because I put a new wine in an old wine skin. Well, I know that we heard many, many sermons about this, you know. But when you apply this idea, I cannot put whatever I have in America in the old wine skin of Egypt. When I took I'm giving examples for myself, you know, not to bother any one of you. I'm talking about myself. When I took my son with me, he was like 3 years old and went back to Egypt, and he asked my brother, my brother was driving, and he asked my brother, and I said like, "Uncle, why do you have green and light traffic lights?" And my brother was so nice to him, and I said like, "You know, my son, because when we have a red light, we have to stop. When we have a green, we have to go. And I said, "Don't tell him that." And my brother looked at me and I said, "What's wrong in that? Did I say something wrong?" And I said, "Yeah, it's not wrong, but when you apply this, when you don't apply this rule, you know, so this is wrong." And he said, "Like, what do you mean?" And I said, "Just give me 2 seconds." And of course, in a red light, everybody's going in the red light there, you know, because everybody's kind of like, "Don't worry about Egypt. They live," and you know, but they don't stop in the red lights and the green lights most of the time. If you have a chance to go, so you will go until someone else cut the way, so you have to stop. Don't worry about the green lights and the red lights. Did any of you visited Cairo before? Anyway, come with me. Okay, my brother here, so. And he came, my brother came to a red light, and he just passed it. And I looked at him and I said, "Do you know now why I told you don't tell my son you have to stop in the red light? Because you didn't stop in the red light. If you tell him that the red light you have to stop in, tell him like not in Egypt, you know?" Do you get what I want to tell you, you know? And that's why we have to prove, we have to be able to prove what's good and will, perfect will of God. We have to change our minds. What kinds of minds do we have according to the scripture? Well, I stated like we won't talk about all these kinds of minds, but I'll just give you an idea. I think I will say the first line, and you can read. This is, you know, the verse that one of the minds is the blind mind. We have a mind called the blind mind in the Bible. The other one is the childish mind. The third one is the fleshly mind. And every mind of these, I got the verse that states the kind of mind. The defiled mind. The hardened mind. The opened mind. The Bible said here, and he opened their minds to understand the scripture. Do you remember the two disciples who were going to Emmaus, and And Jesus came and walked with them and talked to them. And they were kind of like lamenting what happened in Jerusalem. And Jesus was telling them, like, why you are like, look like, you know, what's wrong with you? And they said, like, are you live by yourself here? You didn't know that story of Jesus and the man who was like, we thought that he will be like, you know, whatever, and now he is dead. And some women told us he's resurrected, and as if like that report came from women. So we are not sure if this is right or not. But and the Bible said that Jesus was talking to them, and he opened their mind to understand the scripture. Most of the time, when we read the scripture, we need God to open our minds to understand the scripture. I know you speak English, and you read the Bible in English, but sometimes the English that you read the Bible with looks like Arabic, you know? You read the Bible, but you don't understand it. So what do we need to understand the Bible? It's just, you need that. Do you need me? Okay. So we need God to open our minds, you know? The one that we need to talk about is the shaken mind. We will not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us as thou the day of Christ has come. This is the shaken mind. And the verse of the conference is calling us not to be shaken. Well, how can, like, if I have a shaken mind, if I have the mind that is not fixed, steady, it's the mind that, you know, can go and, you know, do whatever I want without, like, looking even to the whatever the Bible is saying. This is the shaken minds. Well, I found, like, too many of the Christians, they have the shaken minds. Let me tell you like an example. If I preach something now, it looks like good, you know, like say like we have curses. I'm just giving you an example. We have curses and blessings, and we can break the curses right now. And you can stand up and repeat these, whatever I'm telling you, to break the curses in your life. I think most of the attendants will be so kind of like anxious to know like the curses, and we can pray for the curses and repeat after me. I will tell you like, Lord Jesus, and you repeat, Lord Jesus, I have a curse in my life. I have a curse in my life. In the name of Jesus, I break this curse in the name of Jesus. I break this curse in the name of Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, you broke the curse that you have, the generation curse, and I give you like 10 kind of curses in you know, and now if you pray this prayer, we broke the curses over your life. And we start to clap, right? Did you hear things like this or attend a meeting like this? And you come out of the door, and the same things happened once and twice and three times, and you live with, I'm not saying there is no curses, I'm not saying like you cannot break them or this, but I'm telling you that the mindset that we have sometimes, even in the church, you know? And if somebody said in something like this, and we just get so excited, and we felt like we broke the curse. It doesn't go like this. It doesn't go like this. I can, whatever, if this is not our subject, if there is curses or not, and we can break them or not. But what I know in Christ, I'm a new creature. I'm a new creature in Christ. And I'm a newborn person in Christ. Even if there is a curse in my life and curse in my family, I cannot inherit the curse of my family. Jesus does not renew me and you renew my mind, and I still have the curse and I still have to suffer from the curse, and I need someone to tell me to say some sentences, and after I say these sentences, he convinced me that now we break the curse, and I just get excited. Do you like this example, or I feel like I went so far, huh? Because some people like, it's things like moves me from inside. But I want to break my curse. If I don't find job, I feel like I'm cursed. If I am dark skin, I feel like I'm, if I don't have money, I feel I'm, and thousands of kind of curses that they apply over us. And what I know through the Bible, when I gave my life to Jesus and he changed my life and he made me a new creature and born again person, I have no curse in my life unless if I invite something to my life after I did that. Amen? So the shaken mind, we have too many in the churches from this shaken mind. You sit, hear whatever I tell you, and after me, if somebody came and I said, look, there is curses, you will accept this teaching, and then another one came and say, like, we have no curses, so you will accept the same thing, and you will go and fro, like, with all the teachings. Well, the other kind of minds, by the way, if you want this presentation, I can send it to you. Don't worry. The shaken mind, well, now we beseech you, my brothers, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ came. Let not anyone deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come unless there first comes a falling away, and the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition, if I'm saying it right. Anyway, the characters of that shaken mind persons, he reacts fast and changes his mind fast. You know, and we explained this in the last few minutes. They react fast. They accept what it seems like attractive ideas, new ideas, you know, without even testing these, proving these ideas if they are right or not. So they react fast, not to be soon shaken in mind. And the fact is, he lives in troubles and fear because of his shaken mind. Why? Because if you don't have a steady, fast mind, if you don't have a mature mind, this is one of the minds that we have in the Bible, if you don't have a mature mind, if you don't have the mind of Christ, anything can affect you. Anything can take you far left or far right. Here he says, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled. In the Arabic Bible, by the way, it's tremble. The trouble, it means tremble, either by spirit or a word or by letter, as if from us. So he lives in troubles and fear because of his shaken mind. The third thing is, he is not rooted in the word of God. Can you imagine that some people, whoever told them that Christ came, and if when somebody started to teach them that Christ came, they believed him. They believed that Christ came. Now, after 2,000 years, Christ didn't come yet, you know. And Paul is writing to them and said, like, guys, don't be shaken in mind, you know. Don't change your mind according to whatever you hear, you know, because there is facts in the Bible you need to go back to, you know, and to understand, to apply, and to figure out, and to ask others, if you don't understand them, to ask others to be rooted in the Word of God. The shaken mind, these people, they are not rooted in the Word of God. Why? Because they depend upon what the pulpit tells them. They don't have their own time to study. They don't have their own time to, you know, to compare the scriptures. They don't have, they don't do effort to change their minds. They just go after whoever is talking to them. And I'm telling my church, by the way, the Arabic church, and thank God we have somebody from the Arabic church here. And I said, whatever I say in the pulpit, you go study and ask others and consult the Bible. And if you don't understand anything from whatever I said, you come back to me, come to one of the elders, go and read, go and search, you know. Don't take whatever I throw over you from the pulpit as if it's kind of like it's revelation from the Lord. I do my best as pastor, you know, to update myself, to stay with the Bible, to understand whatever God wants to tell me, you know. But in the same time, it's your job to examine what I am telling you from the pulpit. Because now we are in this confusion world that we live, you know. So every time you have somebody in the pulpit, and thank God for this pulpit, because I know Mark and David very well, and I know how they are biblical and how they apply the biblical rules. Let me finish because I have 2 minutes. He is tossed to and fro and carried out with every wind of doctrines. Every wind of doctrines. If you notice with me, every now and then, every few years, you have kind of like a wave of, teachings goes in the church, you know, and you find pastors like taking these ideas, the new ideas, and go with them without even examine whatever they say. I know that God can do anything, you know, and I know that I can look at this side and find gold coming down here and say, like, see the gold? I'm not seeing gold now, by the way, but I can see the gold, and I know that God can do anything. But what about the church that doesn't have gold coming down? Do we have all the churches to have gold coming now? I'm not confirming or denying that the gold came or not, you know? But I'm talking about these teachings that we need to understand. So the guys, if I have a church like they get gold every meeting that they have, I think I like to belong to the golden church. You know, the church that has gold coming down, other than the church doesn't have gold. You understand me, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. I'm not going to say anything else. The chicken-minded person, he is easy to be deceived. This is the end. It's easy to be deceived. Why? Because he's not rooted in the Word of God. So treatment of the chicken mind is, be steadfast, immovable, study the Bible, ask the leaders, go in a spirit-filled church. They know how to practice the gifts and in the same time how to teach the Bible. Because some churches, they practice the gifts and neglect teaching the Bible. And some churches, they concentrate on teaching the Bibles, and they don't want to practice the gifts. You know, which one is better than other? There is no one better than other, you know? The church is supposed to study and practice the gifts. The second thing, always bound in the work of the Lord. Let me finish here. There is a completely different story between a member in the church or attendant in the church, that he attends the church and he serves in the church. If you really want to be steady, unmovable, you have to be in the ministry. You don't have to be in the ministry of the pulpit. You don't have to be in like special ministry. But if you cannot be a part of a ministry, that really godly ministry, as we have, thank God, here in Foothills. It's not enough to come every week to hear the Bible, just to tell you stories from the Bible, or just to preach to you. This is the easiest way to have a movable and shaken mind. Why? Because you are not rooted in the Word. And if you are rooted in the Word, whatever you get from the Word, you have to express that by doing something in the kingdom of God. Don't tell me all your part that you want to do is just to attend Sunday morning meeting and pay your tithes, and that's it. Let me meet you next week. If you are this kind of person that you come to church, do whatever they tell you in the church on Sunday morning and come the next Sunday morning and that's it, there is something wrong. Your mind will be movable, shakeable, but you need to be part of a ministry that you work with and give your effort, give your time, give your whatever you can give and be built and be steadfast with this ministry. Amen? Amen? Well, I don't have too much time. I wish I could, go for two men's conference. But anyway, thank you so much for having this session. And if you want the presentation, I'll send it to you.